Good morning. I am not David Soxman. He'll be reading for you next week. This week you have to endure my Chicago accent. The scripture today is from Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Julia. So as I said at the beginning, this is a new series for us. And just to set a little context, about 70 or so of you might remember that you took an opportunity to be interviewed about a year or so ago. And in that, we asked you 7 questions, and from those 7 questions came about 500 responses. It was called an appreciative inquiry. And from that, we learned about the past of St. John's and a variety of things in that, particularly the people that you remember, the things that you were doing, and what you appreciated the most about that. And so that's what this series is part of. It's a dovetail from those conversations to not only mine through the past, but think about the future of St. John's as well, and how we take the values that we learned about and use those as the bedrock, the foundation, and the support for where we want to go as a community of faith. Because what we learned in those interviews is there's 4 things that we value as a community. We value worship. We value compassion. We value connection, and we value growth. And so we're going to talk about those things over the next 4 weeks as we then begin to think about our future as a congregation. Now, one of the things I think that we all know is we know the power of a first impression, right? All of us, we only have a short window in which you get to make that first impression in an encounter. And you always want to make the best impression that you possibly can in that short encounter. And the church lives in that same environment as well. We've got a short window in which we encounter people for the first time, and we want to make the best impression that we possibly can. That's part of what it means to be a welcoming community. Now, I'm going to speculate that all of you have probably had encounters. You've had encounters where you have felt the generous hospitality of someone, you have felt extremely welcomed, and you have thought, wow, this is really how you do it, right? This is a great way to be welcomed. And then you might have had those encounters where you felt not so welcome. The people did a rather poor job of making that first impression with you, right? About 15 years or so ago, Margaret's family got together for a dinner. We all went out together, and we went to a restaurant in the Lee Summit area, and we all sat down. I think we were celebrating a birthday or something like that, but there was probably about a dozen or so of us, pretty large crowd of us. And I thought maybe to protect the guilty, the restaurant shall remain nameless. But its initials are Outback Steakhouse, just in case you want to know that. All right? But as I said, it was a pretty large crowd of us. And we all ordered our meals. I mean, you know what it is to go to a restaurant. You order your meal, and then you sit there. They bring you your salad, and you eat your salad, and you have a roll or two while you're waiting for your entree to come out. On this evening, I ordered prime rib, and I like an end cut of prime rib. I'm an oddity, but I love the end cut of prime rib. I like it medium to medium well. That's, you know, I don't like the center of a prime rib, not my cut of meat, all right? So I ordered an end cut that evening. We all sat there for a little while, and then our entrees all started coming out one by one, and they placed mine in front of me, and I just stared at it for a minute. because it was the reddest end cut of meat I have ever seen in my life. I mean, it was red, red. It looked like they had warmed it under the lights, and that was it, that they hadn't cooked it very much. So I politely flagged down the waiter and said, I ordered an end cut, and this doesn't look like an end cut. He said, yes, sir, I'm sorry, we're all out of end cuts. This is a little bit more towards the middle of the slice of meat. I said, that's fine. Can I have it cooked a little bit more? Because I'd like it a little doner. I'd like a little bit more to the medium well side. So he took my plate graciously, right? Took it back to the kitchen. And I think they tried to do something with it. The manager, though, delivered my plate back to me and sat it down in front of me. And it really didn't look all that much different than when they took it from me the first time. And I looked at the manager and I said, is this what you guys classify as medium to medium well? He said, sir, we cook all of our steaks to temperature, not to appearance. And then he left. And I was left to just look at this piece of meat and decide what I was going to do with it, right? Probably just take it home, throw it on my own grill and cook it a little bit more would have been the best choice, but I didn't. So I struggled through it. Now, think with me for a moment. Have any of you ever been in that kind of circumstance? And did you have the same response I had to that moment? Want to guess how many times I've been back to said restaurant since that encounter, right? I think it's been twice in the last 15 years, and I know this much. I did not order prime rib, right? If you're going to order prime rib, where do you go in Kansas City to get it? Hereford House. They have the best prime rib, best rub and seasonings, in my opinion. But you may disagree with that if you want to. So let me ask you a question, though. As I was telling you that story, how many of you started to think about the moment where you encountered someone that left you with less than a favorable impression? The first impression that you got from them wasn't all that good. Have you ever had that kind of a moment yourself? The bad experience, maybe at a restaurant or somewhere else, and you know that the customer service and the welcome left a lot to be desired? Did you have the same response I had? Thought, you know, not going back here again. I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest to you that some of us may have had this kind of experience with the church before in our past, where we have gone to a church, we have gone to visit, we have been their guest, and the welcome was not all that good. They really didn't care if you were there or not. Maybe they were cold and unfriendly as a crowd. Or maybe you made the mistake of sitting in someone's pew and they let you know that you sat down in their seat, right? So years ago when Margaret and I took the appointment to go to Chilhowee, when we got there, the church building had burned down to the ground. And so they were trying to figure out how to rebuild. And they were in the middle of a rebuilding process. Now, you think about this. Here's a little small community of 330 people that live in town, and the Methodist Church is putting up a $300,000 structure to have a brand new church there, right? Well, so in the in-between, they had to figure out where they were going to worship. And so they were worshiping in the local funeral home and in the little chapel of the funeral home. Small little chapel in this funeral home. Had about 12 pews, six on each side. You could probably put about four people in each one of the pews if you really squeezed them in. Had a little center aisle in it. Small little chapel area. Had a little electronic piano that sounded like it was even out of tune. If you could be an electronic piano and be out of tune. And also it had a small little lectern that you preached from. Things like that. Margaret had a habit. She had a habit of waiting for the people to start singing before she actually found a seat to sit down. Because heaven help you, even in the small little chapel and those creatures of habit, you sit in one of their seats. Right? Think about that today. How many of us have been somewhere where we have had less than that wonderful open welcome? I think all of us feel and know the effects of what it means to be unwelcome. And unfortunately, that may have even been in the church. And yet, that's one of our values. Through our feedback and our interviews, our small group kind of discerning, we created what's called a provocative proposal that names what our value is. And we actually gave that to you this morning to be able to read. If you look on page number 12 of your worship guide, you'll see this piece right here that says welcome. And underneath it, is living into our vision. That is the provocative proposal of what we believe welcome is as a church. That comes through the information that you have given to us. I want you to read that. Maybe we should read this together this morning. Let's read it out loud. Join me. Let's blend our voices together saying, we have a good thing going and we want the world to know about it. Our message of unconditional love and welcome is shared broadly by the church through media and mailings, and by each of us as individuals as we interact with family, friends, neighbors, and co-workers. Our neighbors value us as a church that is an active part of the community, providing fun and learning for children, as well as the opportunities for community engagement and spiritual growth for people of all ages. We are intentional in our invitation to others to share in the mission and fellowship of our congregation. Guests are received warmly and made to feel connected from the first moment they meet us. We have the leadership and a team whose responsibility it is to follow up with guests who are attending for the first time with a specific program of greeting, welcoming, cultivating, follow-up, and educating them to the various areas and opportunities within the church for them to participate and belong. I encourage you to read that a few more times, because embedded in that is some elements of who we have been and who we hope to be. Did you catch that? What it means for us to have been a people of welcome and what it means for us to continue to be a people who value welcome. Because we believe it's important. We believe it is a part of the command of Jesus Christ for us to be a welcoming community, to welcome others as we welcome Christ amongst us, and vice versa, as we welcome Christ to welcome others. If we truly want to welcome Jesus into our lives, then we will naturally welcome others as well. Now you think about the nerdy class of scholars who look at the Gospels and teach us things about the Gospels, right? There's a whole group of people out here, that's all that they do. They teach us about what the Gospels mean for us and what they have to say. One of the facts that they'll tell you is that many of the Gospel stories overlap, particularly from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They share stories among themselves as they are writing their own version of the Gospels. They tell us common stories of Jesus, words that Jesus says, things that the disciples do and things that the disciples say, and the people that are following and that they encounter. These are common stories that are in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, many of them. But these words for today are only in Matthew. You will not find them shared by Mark, Luke, or even John, because these words were particular to the Matthew community. In particular to their circumstances as a church and where they found themselves historically and in their time and in their present. In the 70s, in the early 70 AD, the Romans put down a Jewish rebellion. So they came into Jerusalem, they surrounded it for about 2 years, cut off all the supplies of what was going into the city, basically starved the people, and got them to the point that when they invaded, they had no problem wiping out the town. And they destroyed the temple. And so all the followers of Judaism and now of Jesus had to find new places to go and to be able to worship. And so they went to the synagogues in their little small communities. And they began worshiping there. And actually they shared that space between those who were part of Judaism and those who were part of the Way, this new Christian movement. They lived together for a period of time. But in Matthew's community, the Jewish community got to the point that they kicked out the Christians. So the Christians found themselves exiled. They were religiously and socially outcasts in their community. And so they're thinking about now how they will exist. Where are they going to find welcome? Where are they going to find a place to worship? On one level, these words of Jesus could very be internal for them. They could think of themselves as the ones who are the naked, the poor, the oppressed. Think of themselves as the starving and the hungry, the imprisoned, the stranger. Because now they've been made a stranger from their own synagogue. They certainly could look at themselves as that class of people. But I think on a different level, Jesus is also reminding us about welcome and hospitality, and that it isn't just about us. It wasn't just about that small community, but how they were supposed to live out the welcome of Christ, even when they were finding themselves being a stranger in their own community. How they were to go out and serve. That welcome still happens outside of the building, so to speak. That they would go out and literally serve the naked and the thirsty, the hungry, the sick. That they would go to the prisons and serve those that were there and to welcome the strangers, because in doing so, they created that image of God in each person. They showed that they believed in the image of God in each person, and they welcomed that. And in doing so, they welcomed Christ as well. Now, I'm going to make a radical statement. You're welcome to disagree with me on this, okay? But I'm going to make what I think is a radical statement this morning. Because nowhere in Scriptures, I mean, I try to read Scriptures a little bit here and there. But nowhere in Scripture have I found it that it says that you are going to be judged in the end by the King of Kings for perfect attendance and worship. Nowhere have I read that it says that you're going to be judged based upon how much money you give. Or how many board meetings you participate in, or how many Bible studies you are a part of, or how many prayer meetings you attend. I have yet to find that. If you do, let me know. But I have yet to find that. What I have found and what I read is that Jesus promotes this idea of serving and welcoming, particularly the under-resourced and the oppressed. That what we're going to be judged on is how we welcome the stranger and the neighbor. Not so much what we do internally. Now, don't get me wrong, friends. Those things are important because I think those things build up the community of faith that goes and welcomes the Lord and the Savior in the world around us. But here's what I think is critical. When I think of this, we've got to figure out how we're going to fully practice welcome as a community of faith and the ways in which we're going to do this in a lively and a holistic manner. In a way in which it's going to empower us to live into the future. So I think of it in a couple of ways, how we might welcome Jesus today, and in so, serve the world around us, and welcome those who are the naked, the poor, the thirsty, the stranger, and imprisoned. I think the first thing is we've got to make sure that we welcomed Christ right here. Right? In each one of us' hearts. We've welcomed Christ right here. How many of you remember the painting of Jesus standing in a little garden area outside a door? Right? My great-grandmother had one of those portraits. Jesus standing outside the door. It's an artist rendition of Revelation 3:20 where Jesus says, "Look, I am standing at the door and knocking. If any would hear my voice and open the door, I would come in and be with them. I would have dinner with them and they would have dinner with me." What it means for us to open the door of our own hearts, that metaphorical language of opening the door of our heart so that Christ might come in and live within us, to welcome Jesus, right? It's not about a knowledge of who Jesus is. It's about knowing Christ in your own life. I watched a video several years ago. They did a man on the street kind of interview video, and they asked him the one simple question, who is Jesus, right? And a lot of people could give historical kinds of answers in that video. They would say rabbi, teacher, good man, a moral example, killed by the Romans. They had all the technical kinds of facts. A couple people said, Savior of the world, my Savior. And you can distinguish between the difference of knowing who Jesus was and knowing Jesus. Right? I think each one of us need to welcome Christ in our hearts. And then to welcome Christ here. To think about what it means in our worship and our community to welcome Christ here in every aspect that we can. Yes, in our singing, our praying, our reciting of liturgy, the practice of the sacraments, together we know that we welcome Christ in those moments, but it doesn't end just simply with our elements of worship. That we make sure that we extend the hospitality of Christ beyond worship as well, and to do the best job that we can. You've heard me ask this question before. Do you know how many guests we have that come to St. John's every year? Any idea? I can tell you this much. It's well over 2,000 guests every single year. Now, most of you are looking at me quizzically, right? Because you don't see those 2,000 on Sunday mornings. they come on a Thursday or a Friday or a Saturday night or a Saturday morning. They come for things like recitals. They come for funerals. They come for weddings. They're still our guests. They're still ones that we are welcoming into our community, into our church, into our sacred space. How do we make sure that we welcome them as we would welcome Christ? That's one of our areas of opportunity, we believe, is for us to think about an extended ministry of hospitality that would also support those who are our guests that are not here necessarily on Sunday mornings, but at other times in our church community. But also for us to think not beyond those two, just about those two things, but to think a little bit beyond. We also need to make sure that we're welcoming Christ in our neighborhood as well, through the ways in which we go out, in which we communicate hospitality, in the ways in which we invite, in the ways in which we engage others. On Fridays, I golf with a friend of mine, and I golf out at Stone Canyon, which is way out in Blue Springs. And so usually when I go out that way, I go out Volker, and I get on Eastwood Traffic Way and cut up towards the highway. And then, of course, under the underpass there, there's some big columns that support the highway overpass. And on one of the columns I saw on Friday these words, and it said, "If you're going to stare, at least smile." Right? That even somebody who would sit there with a sign and ask for handouts would know the act of hospitality, of welcome, that a smile is one of those things that we can give someone, along with other things. I mean, we could give folks other things as well, a bottle of water, a small snack bag maybe that you keep in your car. But to think about the ministries that we do here that have simple acts of hospitality, radical hospitality. Neighbor to Neighbor is a great one that you could get involved with if you have a little bit of time on Monday morning. We have a faithful crowd that cooks a meal and then takes it down to Neighbor to Neighbor and serves it on Monday. And they're usually here about 9 and they're done by 12:30 or 1 or so. But it's a small group that would certainly welcome more who are willing and able to give some time. Or you think about Hope Leadership Academy and our opportunity there, not only to serve them through, say, some uniforms or maybe being a part of their lead to read, but maybe even just going and doing some mundane tasks for the office so that it frees up the teachers a little bit more. There's ways in which we can share our hospitality with the world around us, because I think it's important for us to welcome. To welcome Jesus here, to welcome Jesus here, and to welcome Jesus in the world around us, because that's our first impression, friends. And we only have a short window, a small window in which to make the best impression that we possibly can. It's a paradigm we're going to continue to live into. And I hope that we as a church will think seriously about what it means to perfect this ministry so that we might welcome all in the name of Christ. So here's what I think you might want to consider today and maybe pray over for yourself, right? Maybe think about, you know, how much knowledge do you have of Jesus that's up here and where is it at down here? Have you opened that door of Christ in your own life? Or what does it mean to welcome Christ here as a church community? And how do we broaden that ministry beyond just Sunday morning and think seriously about the other times when our guests are here and how we welcome the impression that we make? And how are we doing as a community in welcoming Christ in the world, in the neighborhood around us? It'll cost us a little bit of time and effort to make the best impression we possibly can. So will you join me for a moment of prayer now? So, oh God, in this moment, we come to think about how you have welcomed us. Through your goodness and your mercy and your grace, you have beckoned us. You have called us. You have given us the greatest gift in the sacrifice of your Son for each of us. You have reached out to welcome us. Teach us what it means to continue this value for ourselves, to welcome others, to not only welcome you into our hearts and into our worship space, but to take you to the world as our way of welcoming others, to show hospitality to our guests here and beyond, to know that there are people who are figuratively and literally the naked, the poor, the sick, the hungry, the thirsty, in prison, and strangers, and that you have called us to be ministers to them, So, Lord, touch our hearts, our minds, move us to action as a community. Help us as we think in the future about how to live this value out in a way that is new and profound and meaningful. It will continue to write our story. And we ask this in Christ. Amen.